Hello and welcome to XR Connections. I'm Liam O'Malley, your host of XR Connections, a podcast about extended reality, augmented reality, virtual reality, and mixed reality. This week, episode 6, we have an interview with Lucas Roper. Lucas is with Verti, a startup that is building tools to develop AR and VR experiences for medical training. Verti is a startup. They are one of the startups in the R Labs Accelerator Program. R Lab is the XR Center in Brooklyn's Navy Yard that I've spoken of before. I was really glad to have met Lucas, and we had a great conversation about what Verti is doing, and it's what he discusses is applicable to VR training in general, but they are focused on medical training. So that will be at the end of this episode. First, I will cover a few items of interest on the topic of location-based experiences. You will see the acronym LBE, and there are a couple items I came across this week. One regarding augmented reality location-based experience, and another on virtual reality location-based experiences. So we'll go through those, and then we'll get to the interview with Lucas Roper. The first experience is the Samsung AT&T 5G fan experience that's going on at the AT&T Stadium in Dallas. That's the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And I had actually covered one small part of that experience in a previous episode, an experience where you could pose with an augmented reality hologram of a Dallas Cowboy player. But I saw something this week that was really quite extraordinary. And as always, on this podcast, what I'm trying to do is highlight both the experiences and how I came across these experiences, and most importantly, the people who shared these experiences and who are sharing the lessons that they've learned in creating and building these experiences, and that is the case with this one. Luke Ritchie is the executive creative director and the head of XR at Nexus Studios. And Nexus Studios, with a couple of partners, are the ones who put together these experiences at the Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium. He posted a video of taken from a drone at hundreds of feet high that showed one of these experiences, which they call the hype-up chance, where you have a 100-foot-tall player doing his signature move integrated with the stadium, so in the stadium's architecture. And this drone footage, I'm telling you, is incredible. It's from hundreds of feet high, and you can see this AR hologram of a 100-foot-high player integrated into the stadium doing his signature move. This video is posted in links in the show notes. Check it out. This is all made possible because Nexus, again with their partners, has created a unique mapping process that creates a digital copy of the stadium. And that, combined with a visual positioning engine, allows them to locate each device in the stadium and then serve up these experiences, which include, again, these 100-foot-high holograms. There's games that you can play in the stadium that are using giant players. There's live stats that appear on the stadium. All of this is detailed in a great article that Luke Ritchie put together for Medium. There are links in the show notes there. I think there's just a couple of quotes that I think are relevant to location-based experiences that and our lessons learned. One of them being, quote, "The ability to locate a device with an absolute position in real-world space is really what underpins the future of location-based augmented reality. Again, about the mapping solution, they've designed a mapping solution that is fast to capture and process so that they can open up the location inside an editor and design and position AR content right on top of the world. The article that I mentioned does have videos of all of these experiences, including that drone footage that is in the show notes. I always appreciate when folks are willing to share their lessons learned, and I will be following Luke Ritchie, and I suggest that you do so as well. He is writing at Medium and posting on LinkedIn. The next item of interest comes from Charlie Fink. Now, Charlie Fink is a legend in these XR circles. Charlie Fink is a former Disney AOL and American Greetings Interactive executive, and he writes a column on XR for Forbes. He's very active on Twitter and LinkedIn. I saw this item because he had posted it on LinkedIn. He is also the author of the critically acclaimed AR books Charlie Fink's Metaverse, that's from 2018, and 2019's Convergence, How the World Will Be Painted with Data. And he also teaches XR at the Chapman University Film School in Orange, California. So Charlie had posted this article about Sandbox VR, and Sandbox VR run these location-based virtual reality experiences. And as I was researching this, I kept coming across the term free roam VR, and I thought I should find out what the exact definition of free roam VR is. So I typed that into Google, and what do you know but the first result is a definition by Charlie Fink, and this appeared in one of his Forbes XR columns back in September of last year, September of 2018. And his definition is as follows. Free roam VR allows users to walk around inside a virtual world as they would in the real world, albeit wearing a backpack PC and a VR HMD, that's a head-mounted display. Inside-out tracking allows participants to see their real hands as virtual hands in the digital world. Some free roam VR attractions deepen the illusion with props and sensory elements like heat, wind, and smells. Many believe this is the only true form of VR, and it's coming to malls, theme parks, and other public spaces around the world. So that's Charlie's definition from 2018, September of 2018, and here we are a year later, and his new article in Forbes on the XR column is titled Justin Timberlake, Katy Perry, Other Celebs Invest $11 Million in LBVR Startup Sandbox. That's Sandbox VR. And he writes about how they are performing an expansive rollout across the United States with a new location in Los Angeles, and how they're coming soon to New York, to Austin, San Diego, and Chicago, and we'll have a total of 16 locations planned by the end of this year and 50 by the end of 2020. He has some quotes from Steve Zhao, who is the founder and CEO of Sandbox VR. In regards to the funding, he says, their support is a vote of confidence that our platform will one day become the new medium for the future of sports, music, and storytelling. And further on, he says, our philosophy is that VR is a social experience and a physical experience. For example, we make you brush stuff off your body and off your friends' bodies. You're using touch and all your senses. Location-based VR is really starting to heat up. There are competitors. There's Sandbox and The Void, Dreamscape, VR Studios, and Zero Latency. I found in my research further into this topic that Zero Latency has a number of videos on YouTube, which are worth watching, showing you what this free-roaming VR experience is like. And all of this, including the links to the article, will be posted in the show notes. So there is location-based experiences in AR and VR. Before we get to the interview with Lucas Roper of Verti about virtual reality medical training, I want to mention a couple of podcast episodes that are also on this topic. One is a podcast I've mentioned many times. That's Alan Smithson's XR for Business. There is a great interview with Todd Maddox of Cognitive Design about the cognitive science behind the advances in virtual reality and augmented reality training. The episode is called Flexing Your Brain in XR with Cognitive Design's Todd Maddox. That was published on September 23rd, 2019. And there are a number of remarkable statistics that are mentioned about retention rates and how VR training is really accelerating the learning process. That's XR training, VR and AR. I highly recommend that episode. Also, there is an episode of the AR Show. The AR Show is Jason McDowell's podcast. I think I've mentioned this podcast on every one of my episodes. It is an incredible resource. These are all in-depth interviews. The episode that I'd like to highlight today, which involves VR training, is with Derek Belch. He is with Striver. That's Striver. And the episode is entitled Derek Belch on VR Training for Quarterbacks and Walmart Clerks. Derek has started a company that started designing training for football and has since gone on to be working with Walmart. And he talks about the science of learning with VR, and he goes on to explore more deeply the impact it can have on the field and on the job. For example, Walmart is putting 17,000 VR headsets in its stores for training. So the AR Show with Jason McDowell, the episode where he interviews Derek Belch of Striver. And now following is an interview with Lucas Roper of Verti. Verti is developing tools for AR and VR training experiences with medical training. Verti is a startup. They're one of the companies that are in the accelerator program at our lab in Brooklyn. Following here is an interview with Lucas Roper. Welcome, Lucas Roper from Verti to XR Connections. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
So, Lucas, we're here at the Brooklyn Navy Yard at the R Lab. Your company is one of six that is in the R Lab's accelerator program, is that right?
That's absolutely correct, Ian.
And tell me, Lucas, a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Verti.
So I'm like the Unity lead at Verti. My background is actually in video games, so I've developed for VR and like non-VR, like from things from a VR venture, a VR game for the TV show Adventure Time, to an anti-Brexit game called Not Tonight.
Anti-Brexit game?
Yes, yeah, non-VR actually, 2D pixel art, but yeah, really nice. But anyway, yeah, I been working with Verti like over the last 2 years or so, sort of as we've been growing. And we basically are aiming to improve medical training with the use of XR technologies.
Okay, so when you how did you get started in VR? Was through gaming, and was there something that you saw that really got you excited about this technology?
Yeah, that's a weird one, because I basically got into like VR because of the games company I used to work for, and they basically used to do normal games, and they deviated into like VR to do marketing experiences and games, etc. But the thing, I personally like enjoyed it as a technology to explore, but I would personally say I wasn't really sold in it until quite recently, to be honest, where with the Quest coming out, like now I'm much more excited by the technology than I used to be, mainly just because I felt it was all a bit too early, all a bit too sort of niche, almost geeky in that way. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I can sort of start at least seeing the seeds of it becoming a mainstream thing, so I'm much more excited about it like now than I was then. But I also think it's been weird where it's been an industry led by games, where I think actually use cases in other areas is actually much more interesting.
Right. So let's talk about that a little bit. Verti is focused on medical training and using AR, VR, so XR. Tell us a little bit about what Verti is doing to bring XR into medical training.
Yeah, so like Verti basically is using like 360 video and augmented reality technologies, and basically trying to deliver like medical students and doctors, and sort of transport them into like hard to access realistic like clinical environments. And with that sort of aids patient safety and aids performance. And this is all with the fact that our founder was basically a surgeon, and he basically, for like first day of actually having to do proper medical practice, like goes from, you know, textbooks and, you know, a tiny bit of in simulation experience to basically having to do the real thing on a real patient. And like that contrast is basically way too large.
Yes.
So we're trying to basically fill the middle, where like we're trying to basically expose people to these environments to make them feel more familiar. And then also, you know, learn through VR and XR, where the retention rates are much better.
Mm-hmm. So this is actually being used right now at some hospitals and schools. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've got customers in the UK and US, University of Liverpool, Maudsley in the UK, Dell Medical School and Cedar Sinai in America, and a bunch more like sort of smaller organizations and stuff around as well.
Can you give us an example of some of the training? Like what would be a good example so people can visualize what a student would be seeing?
We have a quite wide range of content it's focused on the idea of sort of more soft skill and sort of more like instructional learning rather than sort of precise surgery or things like that, where, you know, you're emulating using tools.
Mm-hmm.
But so the like we have like operation procedures, we have CPR, like, you know, resuscitation basics. We even have like sort of instructional videos teaching how to use tools and things like that. So it's quite a wide range of content, and like the sort of short answer is we try not limit ourselves too much on a specific sort of focus or specific area where we actually think our tools are truly scalable, that they could apply to a lot of situations.
And so is the content being developed by these schools and with you? So you bring the set of tools and they say this is the use case that we want to
sort of mix. Like often a bunch of our customers at the moment already have 360 video, but they don't have an effective way of deploying it. And so like, you know, they might upload it to YouTube, for example, but they get no metrics back about like if the student's actually learning. They don't even get metrics if anyone's actually watching it other than their view counter. So they have no real clue about who's taking on what. And so like what we developed like alongside the sort of video player and sort of actual augmented reality stuff is actually analytics as well. Right. So you can essentially see feedback of individual students and sort of judge, are they performing well? And even judge, like, on a simulation basis, like, you know, is this training actually effective?
Mm-hmm.
And with that data, the organizations can essentially work out, like, well, how do we deliver our training better?
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the results that you are seeing? I saw some statistics on your website about the kind of results people are getting from virtual reality training, the return on investment from augmented reality training. Give us a little numbers.
Yeah, so we have quite a wide range. Like, I mean, in the broad sense, like, decision-making speed is higher, like, engagement and confidence is higher, and, like, on also, like, it then decreases, like, skill fade, so the idea of, like, once you've been taught, how long does it take for you to sort of forget what you've learned? So, like, skill fade is reduced using our tech. And then on top of that, like, the monetary savings are really interesting too, where basically the organization can save up to a third of their costs.
A third?
And mostly that's...
In training?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mostly due to the fact that we reduce training time by a substantial amount and also increase confidence in the students so that they actually are retaining more. Mm-hmm. And then... And all this really helps in the end, where hopefully we're saving lives, and also, like, unfortunately, in a world where money talks, like, reducing insurance payouts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're the big points. But, like, we have, like, a bunch of studies and research backing that up, which, you know, it's probably a bit hard to visualize over a podcast, but, like, you know, on a more individual basis, like, we can share for sure.
And that's available on your website, or we can write to you?
Yeah, like, if you contact us, like, basically we can send you, like, a lot of data, basically, backing both VR and backing us on the platform.
The evidence really seems to be mounting that virtual reality training is incredibly effective, and people retain it. I think one of the things I keep hearing, and I know this from my own experience, is that you are just totally engaged with the content. I was given a demo the other day of a 360, and it was a video. I was listening to someone speak. I felt like I was in the classroom. It was just a simple classroom experience. And I had the guy giving me the demo, talking to me, and I took off the headset and I said, I didn't hear a word you said.
Right. Yeah.
I am in the classroom. Yeah, yeah. And I was really amazed at how it focuses you.
Yes. And like, what's a unique challenge in the medical space, at least, is those classrooms to teach in those environments, like, and especially in the simulation centers where they'll typically do, like, the more, like, sort of surgeon-based or more, like, specific procedure training. Mm-hmm. They're really expensive to reserve, and you can only fit so many people in that space. Mm-hmm. So if you have thousands of students or even hundreds of students to train, that's a lot of organizational effort and money to essentially teach those people. Whereas what I think is truly unique to our platform is the idea of how scalable it is. So we can essentially deliver that same training to a bunch of people straight off without having to reserve anything.
Right.
And, you know, if not replace, then at least supplement the training that they're already getting.
Mm-hmm. And these can even be anecdotes, but what's some of the feedback that you're getting from the schools? I think from the instructor's point of view, and maybe from the management point of view, and then from the students.
Yeah, like, so as I say, like, the student side is really interesting, where almost as I mentioned previously, like, it's just the feeling of more confidence and the feeling that they've actually really taken on the learning that they've been given. So, like, that in itself is really cool. But then, like, from the organisational level, they're really interested in anything that sort of saves money and organisation time, and we're doing that. And the tools we provide are sort of, you know, pretty simple to use. They're designed for a wide range of people, from, you know, tech experts to, you know, we have plenty of people in the UK who don't know how to, you know, have upgraded their Windows system in years and years. So, you know, we've got to account for those customers, and we do. And then, yeah, like we're optimizing it all, and I think every part of the sort of every part of the sort of pipeline appreciates that, basically.
Mm-hmm. Understood. So you're here in Brooklyn. You're from the UK.
Yeah.
The company is based...
We're in Bristol, UK, and then we also have an American company based in Houston.
In Houston, okay. And what's next for Verti? What are you guys hoping to achieve while you're here? You're here for a couple of months?
Yeah, we're here till December.
Okay.
This sort of short answer is trying to expand our reach in the US, so more customers in the US, but to be honest, more customers globally. But our lab in itself will be really useful in sort of getting to know a bunch of customers on the East Coast, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of in longer term start to look at like other verticals of where our product can apply. So
right.
Outside the medical space, because it is quite generic, a sort of set of tools we can provide. And then eventually planning sort of as we become a larger organization, like maybe more fundraising and things like that.
Understood. So medical schools, hospitals,
yep.
These are the people you're looking to contact with?
Yes, yeah, for sure. And I mean, to be honest, anything that requires, any organization that requires to train, a subset of people, our tool can provide for, even HR stuff and
safety,
yeah,
okay,
and any sort of device manufacturers too, because they're really interesting use cases to us where they can use our tool set to train like other hospitals and other organizations using their new tools, so they're an interesting sort of vertical for us too,
right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Lucas. I really appreciate it. I love what you guys are doing. I was really impressed by your demo. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at Lucas Roper with a K, LUKAS Roper. They can find the company just verti.com. If you want to contact our sales, you can contact us through there, basically. Otherwise... Yeah, I'll be in New York a while, so... Yeah,
come by the R-Lab.
Yeah.
Come by the R-Lab, see what's going on at the Brooklyn Navy Yard.
Yeah.
Where there's something always going on.
Yeah.
All right, Lucas, is anything else to add?
Not really, just if what we've talked about sounds interesting, as a truly scalable training platform, then please contact us, because we're definitely interested in chatting to you.
It is really, really fascinating. You guys have a YouTube channel? Is there YouTube videos up there?
There might be one or two. It's not something we particularly focus on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go to the website.
Yeah, the website's better. And to be honest, contacting us is even better in the sense of we can deliver much more precise.
Yeah, you want to see this in person.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a demo is the best way of experiencing it.
Thank you, Lucas. Take care and enjoy your time in the United States.
Thank you, Liam.
Take care. Thank you for listening to XR Connections, Episode 6. This podcast is published through Anchor, a very easy process with Anchor. If you're thinking about doing a podcast, I highly recommend you do that. Check them out. The podcast is recorded with Logic Pro 10. And we use a Scarlett microphone and a Focusrite interface. The music is by Dr. Mars. You can find them on Spotify and iTunes. Thanks again for listening to XR Connections, a podcast about extended reality.